I'm Brandon.
And I'm Brandon.
And welcome back to Apollo City Comics, your anything and everything comic book podcast. Dude, we are continuing our reign of, like we said last time, we did Detective Comics 27, and we knew that these are the first issues of these characters. First appearances, not first issues, first appearances.
And some then of them have been first issues.
Yeah, these last two have just been that with, and it's the first issue of these characters, like Batman number one, Doctor Strange number one, Thor number one, we're going to catch up on and see how that correlates with their origin issue too. Because, you know, a lot of these characters, as we're discovering, were just in like anthology comic books and just quick short stories. Just like, what is it? Tales of Beyond of Mystery. Tales of Mystery.
I don't know. They all have Journey wacky
into
names.
Mystery. Journey into Mystery?
Yeah, Journey into Mystery. Yeah, it was Journey into Mystery.
Wow, that took a lot of figuring out. Imagine being in the writer's room pitching that, just trying to like remember the titles of this stuff. It's just like Beyond the Journey of the Center of...
Everybody was just trying to think of words that made sense, and probably who knows what else. Maybe they're fucking just like, Stanley's, I don't know, like, it sounds cool.
It needs to be striking. It needs to be bigger.
Excelsior. Do you even know what that means, Stan? No, but Excelsior.
Gamma.
Gamma. Radiation. That's literally how I envision it.
I picture Stan all coked out, like with his sunglasses in the office.
Was it ever confirmed he was on coke?
I don't doubt it. Dude, how do you come up with all this shit without being on coke much, and heavy drugs and psychedelics? Like, he was funky Flash Man for the reason, you know what I mean? I'm sure for it.
That's bad.
But I mean, dude, okay, speaking of drugged up Stan Lee, here we are, Strange Tales 110, the July issue.
July issue, we made it.
We finally did a July issue in July. It's Captain Marvel.
It's Captain Marvel.
Yeah. We haven't followed our Marvel calendar at all. But hey, man, this is a bombastic cover. Like, dude, look at this. Strange Tales. And it threw me off because you would not know that Doctor Strange is in this fucking book.
Maybe by the name.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Literally.
Strange Tales. Are the flaming powers of the Human Torch strong enough to defeat both the Wizard and Paste Pot Pete? ?
The mirror prison was a great idea of yours, Wizard. It's just, like, I like the idea of like the dialogue on the cover, but it's so busy, man. Like,
and even if he does, Pete, you'll finish him off with your invincible Paste Pot. What the fuck is it? It's a pot.
Yeah.
We're not reading the Human Torch story.
No, I thought we were. I'm all reading it at work. I'm like, hey, when does Doctor Strange show up? And you're like, oh, just skip that shit.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, okay.
I saw how long the story was, and it's like the Fantastic Four Doctor Strange, too. It's not even like the Human Torch, one of the first Marvel characters, you know? Which is bizarre. I didn't read it, so I don't know shit. So.
Yeah, I barely got through half of it. Apparently, in Marvel Unlimited and DC Infinite, the cover counts as page one.
I mean, that makes sense in like a PDF file standpoint, but come on, guys, you're better than that. Just put cover and start page one on page one. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like just label
put
your
cover.
Shit.
Just label shit. It. So you got to go through 14 pages of Marvel Unlimited. You're like, some guys have all the luck, huh? Yeah, sure. Now I've got to stay up all night and study for the exams tomorrow because I missed so much schoolwork trapping the Wizard and Paste Pot Pete. That's a mouthful. Fuck, dude. I lost breath. If I'm lucky,
what kind of fucking name is that?
If I'm lucky like this again, I'll shoot myself. Like, the end. Anyways, here's Dr. Strange. So here's the actual reason we're doing this episode.
Just like depressed teenager, like in college, being like, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. And then
I know, Dr. Right?
Strange,
Jesus.
Master of Black Magic.
And this like passed the comics code.
Oh, man. Dude. Story, Stan Lee, art, Steve Ditko, our man.
Steve Ditko, dude.
Steve Ditko, his art is so dope in this book for being whatever year we should have looked up when this came out. Where's Ryan? Where's our boy? He was supposed to be on this episode.
I know, he's supposed to know these Marvel random shit.
We need the Bifrost to shoot across and to give us this information.
So you ready for this? Take a guess at what year this came out.
1963.
Oh, wow. I mean,
61.
Yeah, you're right. 63.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was shocked.
Badass, dude. That's my Doctor Strange master of black magic fucking powers right there. That's what this comic does too.
Well, it was like 1961 Amazing Fantasy came out? Or was it two?
That was like 39 or something. I don't know, dude.
No, 15. Sorry.
I don't know. I literally just thought. I have no idea when Spider-Man came out.
Well, July 1st.
Yeah, no, 61. You're right. I think it was in 61. I want to say that.
I can just look it up. I have a computer in front of me. But we'll wait till that episode. Published July 1st,
1963. 1962
was
Spider-Man.
Oh, see, I knew it was like...
We were close. Both of us were. Hey.
Yeah. But Strange Tales started in 51. This is issue 110. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Whoa, started in 51? So this book has been going on for like 13 years now. 12 years. I can't do math.
Give or take 12 years, yeah. Fucking 110 issues, dude. It only took 110 to get to Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, when you look at a creative standpoint where these guys are just pumping out every idea they had in their head, like, how cool is that? You know what I mean? If I could just dish out, like, think about how many bad, but how many gems there probably are in these. But, like, if you're
by the
time you get to that
off.
Gem, you're so fucking sick of that book. You're just like, I just want to end it. But
yeah, like, who's sitting around going, yeah, I still got my issue 110? You know, like, I know there's people out there, but
it's, the art, dude. The art, we were talking about sizing and, you know, kind of what Batman looked like it's like a 15-20 year gap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like when you look at the sizing and the characters, how well Ditko was versus Bob Kane, like it is mind blowing. Like
that
the bat.
That bottom right panel looks like it could have been of a Vertigo book in the 90s.
It looks like a Bernie Wrightson definitely drew from Steve Ditko. And then that even has some like Darwin Cook feel in it too, you know?
That panel honestly looks like something out of like Sandman to me.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Yeah. It is. It's eerie. It's creepy from the start. I can't fight it alone. Help. I heard a name. Spoken in the whispers. Doctor Strange. He dabbles in black magic. Perhaps he can help me.
Basically, this guy can't sleep. Yeah. He's having the same dream. He's having nightmares, basically. So he goes to Doctor Strange. We're jumping in, right?
Yeah, jumping in.
Yeah. So, again, I will say this on record. The 9-panel grid has always existed. It was never really a... It was never defined when it was created, who created it. But Marvel made it popular. And I will stand by that Ditko made it popular. You read any Ditko book, you're guaranteed to have this 9-panel grid throughout the entire book, every page. But I also feel like these types of books, like artists like Ditko, I feel like Ditko is a better artist in certain ways than like
Hell
Kirby.
Yeah. Oh, and then Kirby, you know, I can strongly agree with that in some instances. I think if Ditko would have, you know, Kirby had that continuous superhero work where Ditko like stopped, you know, Ditko only did so much like with Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and such before he went and just kind of secluded himself. And, you know, he did Mr. A, which is a book I've always wanted to read and cover. And some really obscure, like, independent stuff. And he even worked into, like, a little office, basically, until he died in New York or wherever. But I think it was New York. But his comic book career, I think if he would have continued to, like, allow himself to flourish the way Kirby did, or if he had that drive the way Kirby did, I would have just loved to see how much bigger and more bombastic he could have gotten, how much more creative. And I mean, Mr. A is one of those books that when you look at it like structurally and creatively, it is like this insane, like, for one, the concept's really interesting, kind of just like a black and white, good or evil, there is no in between type of character. But the way his art is, it's really just abstract. Like, he becomes more and more of an abstract artist, I feel, as he continued on to his career. But I would have loved to see more superhero stuff from him. You know what I mean? Just like that more comic book standard feel. Like, but he became like an artist at that point, you know, kind of like that Dave McKean type of feel, you know, like you want him to just continue doing this one thing because he's so fucking good at it and you want to see how much better it could be, but he didn't go that route in that sense.
Is it weird that when I look at Steve Ditko, I think of him as like the conventional like Silver Age artist in a way besides Kirby?
Oh yeah, I would feel the same way. Yeah, like that's when you're drawn to, probably.
Yeah, when you think Silver Age, who is it you think about?
And, like, I mean, this art especially style. In our, I mean, we'll fucking admit it. Like, we don't know a lot about the Silver and Golden Age. Like, hands up. Like, I know. I mean, I'm aware of it. I know. I've seen the art. I've seen the books. Like, I know a little bit, but I can't name drop the way I can from like kind of like the 70s on. Yeah, from basic Bronze Age on, like I can't, our knowledge is pretty strong in those eras, but like our Golden Silver Age, that's why we're doing these dives, kind of expand it just a little bit more, you know, just kind of grow those calves, you know?
Exactly. I always tell people, I'm like, I don't know everything. I try to learn what I can, but it's hard. It's a lot of books.
And so I think once we dive into other books and we kind of widen, I'm going to go back into, I don't know why it came into my head, but from the Batman episode, I'm going to widen our girth a little bit and, and, you know, we'll check out some other creators from this era that we might even enjoy even more, but these are the most popular ones, you know, Ditko, Spider-Man creator. That's where his name is at. And that's why we're all aware of Doctor Strange, you know, artist like, and creator, like that's why he's the first one that comes to our mind. But if anyone else knows dope Golden Age, Silver Age artists, then we drop them in the comments. Let us know. Educate us. Show us a book. We'll do it. We'll do it. Well, but anyways,
down to learn more.
But look at the detail in this. Like, look at Doctor Strange's stash. Like, how do you come up with that?
Well, let's talk about how this guy is just like, I hear see Strange. He like swings he doesn't swing a door open, but basically, is it confirmed who that is with Strange?
He doesn't say like. You would think it would say on this page the way they introduce the characters. You know what I mean? Like, this is the introductory, like, the story's about 4 pages long or something.
Who's, like, his buddy? Wong, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely... I'm assuming that's not the character?
Unless he just has, like... I don't know. Monks hanging out with this thing. It could be. I'm assuming. I don't know.
But, yeah. What were you going to say?
I would say... no, go on. I'm jumping to the bottom of the page already, so...
Oh, no, I was going to say, for me, the thing that's funny is, like, you just can't avoid the words in these books, man. Like, but what's interesting is this is one of those Silver Age books that has the least amount of dialogue. Like, I say that because, like, when you look at the caption boxes, you look at the word bubbles, they fill up a lot of the page, and especially with these 9-panel grids, with these, like, really thin vertical pages, words and dialogue fill up a lot of that space. You lose a lot of the top half of your page. You see it in Watchmen, you see it in other books that like have a lot of like 9-panel grids. So I have this feeling that with Doctor Strange, they kind of knew that, and they, you know, it's still wordy, but there's still less dialogue overall.
Sure. I could see that, hands down. The exposition is the heavy part, but like the actual conversations aren't nearly as like thick and dense as we're used to.
And like, it's just kind of like, I can't dream. And he's like, don't worry, I have a solution. By entering your dream. Granted, they don't have to do the exclamation mark in the word bubble. You know, you
can take more space. Just like that anime.
But, you know, I feel like in other books at the time, you would have had a longer explanation. Like, well, by my powers and being the Sorcerer Supreme, I'm going to enter your dream, you know?
Yeah. I am going to use my abilities to step into the dream world, where therefore I shall... And you're just like, fuck, all right, Stan, shut up.
Let's talk about how cool it is.
Oh, go on. What do you want to talk about?
I was just going to go and see the art, but go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. We're on the same page. Sequentially, dude, look at, I without even having to read all this bullshit, like, this dude rushes into a building, and then Holmes is like, enter. And then he's talking to Doctor Strange, clearly, because he's there to see him. And then you could tell he's in fear, and Doctor Strange is, like, listening patiently. And he's describing this, like, crazy fucking thing. And Doctor Strange is like, And then the way Strange's hand is, like, shaking, like, with a loser, like, symbol right there, like, 1990 Strange. You could tell it's the motion of just, like, you know, fucking beware, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. And Home Slice is all scared then, and he's like, I'm gonna do it. And then you can still see Home Slice is still scared, Doctor Strange is doing his magic, his astral body leaves, and you're just like, okay, how far is it going? Out of the city. Oh, across the world. Like, that's the story.
Yeah.
Right there. Like, you, that how sequentially you could look at that. What we were saying in Batman, you couldn't figure shit out like that sequentially. Like, this is really good storytelling through visual art.
It's a little bit more smoother. Like, it's like you get the idea of what's going on without having to be told much, even though they do tell us a lot.
Yeah. God, they tell us so much. Just crazy, doesn't stop.
They tell us so much.
Until finally, at a hidden temple somewhere in the remote vastness of Asia. Of course.
The narrating every time, dude. Like, but I was going to say, what I think is cool is, like, the, you know, during the Silver Age, there's a lot of wacky things. There's aliens, there's magic, there's demons, there's all this shit that's, like, mystical and very fantasy-based and sci-fi-based and hard sci-fi versus soft sci-fi. Do you know that? You know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, I know, for sure.
Okay. It's pretty cool that, like, they still found ways to make things interesting, because I don't think there's any characters that were really, like, I don't think they call it his astral form, because they call it the astral form later.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think it's cool, like, this idea of, like, his spirit kind of traveling across the, like, the world to go talk to, like, his, does he have a name for him?
The Master? Is it the Master?
The Master, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, and, like, he goes to communicate with him, and, like, then he goes into, like, the dude's mind, and then, like, sees this evil spirit being that's, like, occupying his headspace and why he can't sleep, and, like, I don't know, like, to me, that's cool shit in the 1960s.
Yeah, hell yeah. And, I mean, also, like, I mean, that's a big part I wanted to talk about as well, was, dude, using just, like, black and white for the astral projection, how brilliant, how smart in a comic book, you know what I mean? Like, time saver, but also, like, that's some skill to just have, like, the lines on there, no detail. And, I mean, it just, it works out so, when it comes to a printing in a comic book visual standpoint, he's fucking with the colors, and he's mm-hmm. not coloring them blue or some green to be all astral or, like, a light shade to something. He's straight up black and white, like he's in a different parallel. That's why Ditko was so fucking cool, because he knew how to play with stuff like that. And his later Strange work is the trippiest stuff ever, and it's because he knew how to mess with, like, what you're looking at on the page, like that pink contrast to the black and white, like mm-hmm. you know he's somewhere else and not actually there. It's brilliant, and it's so simple.
What's interesting, so too, is, like, it almost looks like they use the technique of, like, not finishing a page to give that astral, what do they call it? Astral
projection.
Projection. It's projection, yeah. Right? Yeah. They don't give it a name in this.
But I think, like, in the second issue, when they introduce Mordo, that's when they, like, name all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that much good Doctor Strange. I know there's, like, the Brian K. Vaughan stuff, and, like, Jason Aaron did some stuff.
I read Jason Aaron, like, few issues that I had, and that shit was dope. I want to read more of it. I haven't read a lot of Strange either, and I have, like, I wonder if it's right here. Yeah, I have an omnibus of Doctor Strange.
You do?
Yeah, I just realized that.
You forget.
Check this shit out.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Sweet.
Man, and you know what? I'm sure this, like, I think it starts off with, you know what turned me off from this? Is because when I bought this, yeah, man, fucking crazy. When I bought this book, the omnibus, the volume one, it doesn't have, like, Doctor Strange number one. It's all Strange Tales 110 all the way through 46 and the Amazing Spider-Man annual. So Doctor Strange didn't have, so that's from 1963 series. To 65. That's 2 years worth of, like, appearances that he did not have a title yet. And it's all just, like, backup story stuff. Because the majority, I feel, of these Strange Tales, it looked like it was Human Torch stuff, you know? Crazy stuff.
Yeah. Man,
fucking Kirby. I mean, Ditko's insane. Anyway, sorry.
But I gotta read that. But I was going to say, what I thought was cool is that to give this astral form appearance, it's like almost a... didn't finish the artwork for Strange.
Mm-hmm.
But which in a way, like, makes it feel more abrupt and stick out more. Like, he doesn't look like they finished coloring him in, which was, like, an easy way to save money and time. to figure out an Astro.
It feels like kind of meta in that sense.
Yeah,
like
it does.
When you see those comics that doesn't have the finished artwork, you know, because it's like SpongeBob did an episode like that, where like all of a sudden, like it was just like
everybody's like drawn by pencil.
Yeah, exactly. And he was just like stripped down to nothing. And I love when cartoons, there's some old Looney Tune cartoons that do stuff like that, where it's just like erasing everything. The Bugs Bunny stuff, like where, you know, there was an eraser getting rid of everything, getting rid of his ears and everything, and then redrawing them. Like, I love that meta. Grant Morrison's Animal Man is that same essence. And that's what his astral projection feels like.
Yeah. It's really cool and just like a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally see that. But yeah, so he meets like this like incarnation of evil of all the evil this guy did, and then it turns out to be this villain named Nightmare, his ancient foe, which again, it's like a first appearance, so they don't really explain much, but like at the same time, I like this stuff where it's just kind of like, oh shit, who's Nightmare? And I guess we got to find out, you know?
You know, I wonder like, and it had to have been, you know what I mean? But I wonder like how much of a fan Neil Gaiman is of Doctor Strange. Because this is all very Sandman-y, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to enter mm-hmm. his dream, and then there's, like, this, like, force that you're fighting against and all this. Like, I mean, that'd be interesting. That's going to be my Neil Gaiman question next time I see him. How big of a Doctor Strange fan are you?
Well, I just typed it in real quick.
He's a big Ditko fan because he actually hunted down, there's a YouTube video, he hunts down Ditko to ask him a question and do an interview for something. And Ditko refused to do the interview on camera, but he said, come down to my offices and we can talk and I'll answer your questions. And then he even gave Neil and the guy Neil was with some comics. And Neil, after the interview, and they go up there and talk, they didn't film it, but like they come down and Neil's just like glowing because he got to talk to Steve Ditko and got some comics signed. And he's like us if we got to go fucking talk to like Neil Gaiman and like hang out with him for a bit.
Ditko is like a legendary creator, and on top of that, he was also like very private. So it's not shocking that he wanted, like he was private to the point where he didn't want attention. Like he purposely didn't want any recognition for the work he did. In a way.
Yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, like he like would not accept like the Spider-Man recognition to a certain point. That's also because until Stan Lee says I co-created, and then there's videos of Stan. There's one where Stan Lee gets really pissed off because the guy was just like, so, you know. Ditko created blah 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 like Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and all this, and Stan is just like he helped with, and Stan won't phrase it because he knows like his lawyers will kick his ass for it, you know what I mean, but he ends up getting like pissed about it. And then there's an Alan Moore video you could find where he's talking about the creation of Doctor Strange and all that stuff, and he's just like trashing Stan and talking about how brilliant Ditko is. Again, I mean, Stan Lee had the greatest people to have Ditko and Kirby like by his side doing all this stuff, like,
oh yeah, 100%.
And Stan knew it too, you know. Stan definitely understood.
Yeah, I mean, he was surrounded by amazing talent left and right.
And look at those blues, those contrasts, like
I know
how,
right?
Like the shading,
he did the coloring too, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, Stan was lucky, man. He had some of the biggest talent ever like surrounding him, you know. But have you heard of this character called Nightmare?
No, nothing about Nightmare.
I think it's funny though, like the guy is like, meanwhile in the semi-dark bedroom the sleeper wakes, he mentioned Mr. Krang, so that's what it's all about. There's Dr. Strange, he must have heard it all. And I'm just like, oh, so he's gonna kill the guy that he asked for help from? That was the only thing that was confusing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I honestly, the writing, I just breezed past it. I was too immersed in the art, to be honest. Like, because, I mean, look at the detail in some of this stuff. Like, in the bottom row, the second panel, the way he would draw, like, those, like, type of, like, it's like an incense burner. But, like, all the, like, I don't know the fuck it's called. Everything in the background, all, like, the tables and the counters and everything, very detailed in that sense, too. And look at the eye, like on this. Oh, I forget. It's the final page. It's a 5-page comic. That's why.
Yeah.
I forget how fast it just disappears.
What's it called? The Eye of Ugamotto?
Yeah, Agamotto or something like that.
Yeah, like they don't call it that in this, but that's what saves him. And it like literally blinds him with like a bright light.
Mm-hmm. And then like the astral form stuff is just too cool, man.
Oh yeah.
And that's that panel, that looks kind of like the cover, the Alex Ross cover here.
Oh, it does, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
His astral form returning to his body.
That's interesting. How cool. Man, I don't know. For a first appearance, like, it's kind of like one of those things where you're just like, it feels like anything else in a comic book except for, like, I mean, Doctor Strange's outfit is already the craziest fucking thing you could ever imagine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that shirt and the gloves and everything, the leopard gloves are just wicked for... I mean, with the little like scarf thing, I don't know what it's called.
Does he wear it in the new movies? A scarf thing?
No, he doesn't. No,
he doesn't, right?
No. But it's just, it's crazy designs. But it's one of those ones that, like, unless I somehow came across this later on, I'd be like, I don't really need to read a second issue of it. I'd be kind of down to if I ever came across it, but like,
yeah.
I feel like it would blend in with a lot that was out at that point, but definitely stands out compared to the Human Torch that we just read. Well, didn't read, but that's
did it read? This. Yeah, that was hard to get through. So here's my thing that was kind of confusing. Like, this guy goes to his place, the Solemn Sanctum. What is it called? I don't know about Doctor Strange.
Sanctum Sanctorum.
Solo Sanctum. I know, yeah. Sanctum Sanctorum. He goes there. And they're in this room, but the guy goes and pulls a gun out of a drawer. So did they go back to his house?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, you're right.
And then, well, Dr. Strange basically punks him and he's like, you think about what you did. And he's like, I was a fool to come to you. I didn't suspect my dreams were caused by the many men I've ruined in business. Krang was the last of them. I robbed him, but he couldn't prove it. Now I'll confess. I will be the only way. It will be the only way he could ever sleep again.
Man, that's a weird way to end it. It would be the only way
I know.
Ever sleep again. I guess, like, what did you do, Strange? Like, what kind of curse did you put on this guy to be like, if you don't fucking fess up, dude, I'm going to fuck with your dreams for the rest of your life. Like,
he is the Ayugamoto on him, man.
Be a good Samaritan. Next issue, explore the mystic world of black magic once again with Doctor Strange as your guide. That's a bitchin' final, like, panel, though. Like, that's a cool, like, pose, and then he has the thing coming out of his chest. Like, that's sick, dude. Ditko.
Ditko's the man.
Man, that is a gangster pose for Doctor Strange, too. He has his, like, lips puffed, and he's just, like, he's got the stash. That stash.
And then you go into another... Oh, the stash. He's got to have a mustache. It's not Doctor Strange.
Well, it goes up, and then, like, it's like a handlebar. Oh, yeah. Like,
it pokes upward and then keeps going to the handlebar.
Well,
what's funny is the consistency is not going on there.
I wonder how hard that is to shave. You know what I mean? Like,
to keep it looking that way. It's hard looking this fresh when you're the
Sorcerer Supreme. He does. He has like a gold chain and shit, like with a cool like white hair. Like, I don't know.
And then notice the next issue goes back to more fucking Human Torch shit when you know that's not something you care about.
Oh, no. No, not at all. The next issue is Mordo, though. I have read that issue before. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So we're doing superheroes, so maybe we'll do a villains edition and do villain first appearances at some point.
That'd be pretty cool.
This is cool stuff. I love seeing the contrast between... Well, we haven't done much DC stuff.
Silver Age.
I don't know if it's going to be as good. I don't know. We'll find out. I can't say shit. I really can't say shit. Like, I should read it before I say anything.
Yeah, we got to read it. But Marvel did have cool shit. They had Kirby and Ditko and Romita Sr. Like,
yeah, dude. Like, DC had Romita Sr. too for, like, Sergeant Rock and shit.
Yeah, and not to say decent. DC didn't have a good artist.
No, I'm thinking Joe Kubert. Fuck me. Like, I'm so sorry.
Romita did romance comics before Spider-Man. I know that. So I don't know what they were published under.
But. Yeah, we'll get to some DC stuff soon. So some of this Marvel stuff has been fun at this point. But we're breaking into DC with the Batman number one. So that'll come out soon, along with the number one of this Doctor Strange and the number one Thor. Because we just got to read it. You're listening to the show. Like, you need to learn about comics, too.
Feel about the first issue?
Like I said, I don't know. It's like some of the concepts really grasp me a lot. Like, I think it's super cool. But I don't know how much. I mean, out of all the Marvel stuff at this point, this is probably the coolest thing that has come out, to be honest.
Well, it's like short and sweet and to the point. Like, again, it's not written the greatest, but like the idea has come across. You're like, oh shit, this guy knows magic and he fucking travels around as a spirit.
He's got this wicked outfit. People's
dreams. Yeah, he's got a wicked fucking stash. And like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think it's cool. I mean, again, I don't know if I'd be a huge fan back when it came out, but I think like the idea is there and the idea of something crazy is.
I think what throws me off is it being in a Human Torch comic.
Oh yeah, you know what
I
mean?
Like the Strange Tales aspect. I want to see what else was in these Strange Tales books. And I think I'm just thinking straight up of like already in Marvel. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, coming if you're looking for a Strange Tale, damn, this is it.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. I'm hyped to read more. I'm hyped to see where Doctor Strange kind of goes in a lot of sense. Also, check out Across the Bifrost. He has a Sorcerer Supreme podcast as well. And we got a link to his, if you go to our Instagram link tree, there's a link to his link tree where you can check out all that stuff. But he covers a lot of this Doctor Strange stuff in depth a lot more than we do because he's smarter than us.
And Ryan's he loves Marvel. I know he loves other stuff, but that dude, he's a Marvel database.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, and so go check out his Doctor Strange show, and maybe we'll get him on for Doctor Strange number one if we can. But I'm sure his number one episode is probably way better. So just check that out. Other than that, I mean, did we do a coffee and a comic shout out?
No.
Wow. Okay. Hey, end this episode and go to fucking coffeeandcomic.com. We did a double recording today, so it throws us off every time. But hey, coffeeandcomic.com, 15% off your order below. Don't forget, he has a storefront now. How sick. Go show him some support. If you're in California, go give him a visit. And you know what? I might just edit this and put it in the beginning or something. We'll find out. We'll find out when it comes out. But hey, check that out below. Start your pull list. And that's
he's got a shop now. And, you know, what I imagine is it smells like coffee when you walk in there.
Well, it's funny because we recorded an episode before he even told me about the shop that he got it. And we had talked about what it would be like if he got a coffee, like what his basement smells like. And we were like, if he has a shop, it's going to be like coffee and just beautiful comic books. And we had a whole discussion. we had a whole discussion about it. And then like 2 weeks later, he's like, dude, I got a shop. And I was like, what?
Dude. Telling you, beans, man, coffee beans resonate when it comes to smell, and it's awesome.
It really is.
It's an experience if you have the privilege to be able to go there.
So get some coffee in the mail with your comic books that are bagged and boarded and securely bagged and boarded. All my books are beautiful as fuck from him. Go hit that up, 15% below.
Go treat yourself.
Checking us out. Treat yourself. That's right.
Have a comic and some coffee. Escape the summer heat. Who goes outside?
Escape like everything right now. Reality sucks right now. Fuck our nation. So check that out. Thanks for hanging, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.